You know that feeling, right? Your computer pops up that notification, new update available. And your first reaction probably isn't pure excitement. It's more like, okay, seriously, what's really different this time? And is it worth stopping what I'm doing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's that moment of wondering if it's just, moving buttons around again or if there's something substantial under the hood.
Exactly. It feels like you need a decoder ring just to figure it out sometimes.
It's a totally fair reaction. Updates promise things, but the actual impact can sometimes feel a bit hidden. It often goes beyond just looking different to actually changing how you use the machine, hopefully for the better.
Right. And that's exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We're going to
Yeah.
cut through the jargon around the latest Windows 11 update from July 2025. Microsoft calls it KB5062553, just their code for this specific bundle of changes.
Right.
Our mission here is pretty simple. Pull out the key stuff, the genuinely interesting bits, so you understand how it might actually affect your day-to-day work, your productivity, your whole experience, really, without the usual info dump.
Yeah, let's unpack it.
So what's the big picture with this July update? Is it just tweaks or something more?
Well, this one feels pretty significant, actually. Less like a routine patch and more like maybe a milestone for Windows 11. They seem to be really responding to user feedback, but also pushing some new capabilities. Looking at it, their focus seems to be on like three main areas. First, really optimizing system performance. Second, a big jump in accessibility options. And third, some pretty thoughtful tweaks to the user interface itself.
So performance, accessibility, and usability.
Essentially, yeah. The goal seems to be making Windows 11 feel faster, easier for everyone to use, and just, well, more intuitive overall.
Okay, so beyond those broad strokes, what are the quick hits, like the immediate changes someone might actually notice day one?
Right. Well, there's quite a few things that should make a difference pretty quickly. File compression and extraction, noticeably faster. That's a big one if you deal with large zip files. Gamers should see better stability. There are some really interesting new accessibility tools, better browser handling, and a sneak peek at what they're calling next-gen device migration. We should definitely talk more about that one.
Okay, that's a solid list already. But you mentioned some revolutionary features. That always gets my attention. Let's start there. What is this dynamic taskbar intelligence system? Sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy, yeah. But it's actually quite a subtle, smart idea. It uses this adaptive scaling technology, meaning the size of your taskbar icons can change automatically. But here's the clever bit. It's based on how often you use those apps. So the apps you use all the time, they might stay prominent, easy to see, less used ones, they might suddenly shrink a bit to, reduce clutter.
So it tries to predict what you need most and keeps the taskbar tidy.
Exactly. It's trying to prevent that feeling of a totally jammed taskbar while keeping your important stuff visible. It's kind of like how phone interfaces adapt, moving towards being more predictive.
That actually sounds pretty useful, but what if you hate it? What if you like your icons just the same size?
Totally fair question. And yes, crucially, you can turn it off. If you prefer consistency, you just go into the personalization settings and disable the adaptive behavior. It's an option, not something they're forcing on you.
Good. Always good to have the choice. Okay, next up, something really important, advanced accessibility innovation. This sounds like more than just minor tweaks.
It really does feel like a significant focus this time. There are two main parts that stand out. First is personalized voice recognition enhancement.
So better dictation.
Better than just that, actually. It builds on the standard speech to text, but it lets you add custom vocabulary.
Oh, interesting. Like specific names or technical terms?
Exactly. Or even just the unique way you pronounce certain words. It's designed to really improve accuracy, especially for people managing physical limitations, making the computer understand them better.
That could be huge for usability. What's the second part?
The second is privacy-focused screen reading technology. This is clever. It basically blanks the screen, conceals the display, while the screen reader is narrating audio.
Why would you need that?
Think about using a screen reader in public, maybe at work or a library. If it's reading out sensitive emails or documents, this stops anyone nearby from just reading it over your shoulder. It protects your privacy, especially if you're using headphones.
That's actually really thoughtful. Addresses a real-world issue. Okay, moving on. Enhanced browser ecosystem integration. Heard there's a catch with this one. Like, where you live matters.
That's right. So what this feature does is make Windows 11 really stick to your default browser choice for all web-related files.
Meaning
you won't click on, say, an HTML file or some weird link type and suddenly have Edge pop up if Chrome or Firefox is your default. It stops those unexpected browser switches.
Okay, that's a small fix, but definitely welcome. No more browser roulette. But why the limitation?
Yeah, this is the interesting part. Right now, this specific improvement, it's only available for users in Europe.
Why? A technical reason?
Nope, purely regulatory. It's a direct result of compliance requirements tied to data protection laws in the EU. It's a fascinating example of how regional regulations are actively shaping software features worldwide. Makes building a one-size-fits-all OS pretty complex these days.
Huh. Shows how law and tech really intersect. Okay, last of these big features, the revolutionary PC migration framework. This sounds like the answer to everyone's prayers when getting a new computer.
It really could be. I mean, setting up a new PC is such a chore, right?
Yeah, totally.
So with this update, they've put the underlying structure, the foundational architecture, in place. That's a big step.
Uh-huh.
But the full system, all the features, that's coming in future releases.
And what will it do when it's fully baked?
The goal is pretty ambitious. Think automated data syncing between your old and new PC, smart transfer of your applications, not just files. It'll likely use your Wi-Fi network and generally automate a lot of the painful setup process.
Wow. When can we expect that magic?
They haven't given a hard date, but Microsoft is saying they expect it to be fully functional before Windows 10 support ends in October 2025. So that strongly suggests it's a high priority, probably sometime in the next year or so.
Okay, that would be a game changer. Let's switch gears a bit. Core system stuff. Gamers often feel updates the most, sometimes painfully. What gaming performance breakthroughs are in this update?
Yeah, gamers should definitely take note here. They've addressed some pretty specific long-standing annoyances.
Like what?
Okay, first, you know when you switch between a game and another app, especially if they have different resolutions, and your mouse cursor goes haywire?
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
That should be fixed. Optimize application switching to handle that correctly.
All right.
Also, better stability when you alt-tab out of a full-screen game back to the desktop. Less chance of the whole system freezing up.
Nice.
And they've also worked on those random intermittent screen blackouts that some people get during gaming, trying to make the display more consistent. These were really disruptive bugs.
Sounds like some solid quality of life fixes for gamers. What about just general system reliability? Things like, I don't know, File Explorer not crashing when you drag a window. That drives me nuts.
That's exactly the kind of thing they've targeted.
Yeah.
Yes, improved interface stability to prevent those File Explorer crashes during window manipulation. That's a big one.
Thank goodness.
Also, better memory management. So when your system comes back from hibernation, your window should actually still be where you left them. And the right size. No more desktop Tetris every morning.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Overall, they're saying systematic improvements across the board for responsiveness. Mm-hmm. Things should just feel, you know, smoother, more solid.
Excellent. And what about sharing stuff? You mentioned Windows sharing platform enhancements. What's new there?
The sharing panel itself has had a redesign. The main thing is, when you share web content, like a link, you now get a much better visual preview in the share window.
Ah, so you can actually see what you're about to send.
Exactly. Lets you double check you're sending the right article or page before it goes. Just builds a bit more confidence.
Smart. Avoids accidental shares.
Right. And tied into that is intelligent image optimization. When you share an image, you get a choice of compression levels now.
Right.
Like minimal compression if you need top quality.
Yeah.
Balanced, which is probably the default. Optimizing size but keeping it looking good, or maximum compression if you just need to send it fast, and quality isn't the absolute priority. It gives you control over that trade-off.
Options are good, especially for sending stuff quickly. Okay, any other general file system management bits we missed?
Yeah, just a couple of quick ones. One is enhanced archive processing. Basically, handling zip files and other compressed archives is more efficient now, right inside File Explorer. Should mean faster extraction time, especially for big files.
Nice.
And related to what we said earlier, just continued back-end work to make File Explorer itself more stable and reliable day-to-day, more dependability.
Okay, so we've covered a ton of features, from the flashy taskbar stuff to these core improvements. Let's get practical. How do people actually get this update? How does it roll out? What should they expect?
Right, the practical stuff. So first, deployment. Microsoft is rolling out some features gradually. In phases.
Why do they do that? Just to be slow?
Huh. No, it's actually strategic. It lets them monitor performance and stability on a massive scale as it hits different machine types. If issues pop up, they can pause or adjust before everyone gets it. It's about ensuring a smoother rollout overall.
Okay, makes sense. And compatibility, does it only work on the newest machines?
It targets Windows 11 version 24H2 installations. That's the main focus. But importantly, they've worked on compatibility protocols, so it should still support older legacy hardware reasonably well. They're trying not to leave those machines behind entirely.
Good to hear. And how do you actually, you know, download it?
Standard way. Go to Settings, then Update and Security, click on Windows Update, and hit Check for Updates. The update identifier, if you need it, is KB5062553.
And the big fear, will it slow my computer down?
That's always the worry, isn't it?
Yeah.
But actually, this update includes quite a few performance enhancements. So the intention is that it should improve overall responsiveness, especially for things like gaming and file management, not slow it down.
Okay. How much space does it need? Do I need to do a big cleanup first?
Typically, you'll want around 2 to 4 gigabytes of free space.
Mm.
It can vary a bit based on your specific system, but it's not enormous.
And that dynamic taskbar, we confirmed you can turn it off, right?
Yes, absolutely. If you try it and don't like the icons changing size, you can disable it easily in the taskbar personalization settings. It's optional.
Okay. And the browser feature being only in Europe, any chance that changes?
Well, as we discussed, that's tied directly to regional data laws there. So unless those regulations change or similar ones appear elsewhere, it's likely to stay Europe only for now. No word on a wider rollout.
Right, the regulatory factor. And the PC migration tool, just to be clear, it's not fully working yet, but expected before October 2025.
Correct. The foundation is laid in this update, but the full seamless migration experience is slated for a future release, expected sometime before Windows 10 support ends next year. No specific date yet, though.
Should people worry about compatibility issues or just do the usual backup before installing?
Microsoft says known issues from previous updates have been addressed, which is positive.
Yeah.
But yeah, backing up your system before any major OS update is always, always the recommended best practice. Better safe than sorry.
Definitely. What about battery life on laptops? Any impact?
Actually, it might be positive. The update includes power management optimizations. So it's designed to either maintain or potentially even slightly improve battery efficiency on portable devices.
Oh, that's a nice bonus. And finally, security. Anything new beyond the usual patches?
It definitely includes the standard security patches. That's a given. The main new security-related capability is that Narrator Privacy Screen feature. We talked about the display concealment for screen reader users. That's a notable privacy enhancement.
Wow. Okay, so looking at all of this, it really does feel like more than just a minor update. It feels like a pretty substantial step for Windows 11.
I think so, yeah. It touches on performance, accessibility, usability, even future setup processes. It feels comprehensive, aimed at making the whole experience feel more modern, more responsive, and smarter.
So wrapping this up, we've really dug into this Windows 11 July 2025 update, KB5062553. We've hit the intelligent taskbar, the big accessibility improvements, those gaming fixes, better file handling, quite a lot.
It really paints a picture, doesn't it? You can see Microsoft responding to feedback, but also pushing their vision for an OS that's more efficient, more inclusive, and maybe a bit more predictive, moving beyond just being a tool to being more of a, well, an assistant.
It's a great way to put it. Connects all the dots. So for you listening, what really jumps out from all this is that the smoother gaming you're looking forward to, that clever taskbar, or maybe those privacy features for screen readers. And thinking ahead, as you consider bringing these features into how you work and play every day, here's something to chew on. How will things like that upcoming PC migration framework change what we even expect when we upgrade or switch computers? Are we moving past just copying files to truly migrating our entire digital life seamlessly? What does that future look like?